I'm always amused because I love the interaction that you have on social media, especially on Twitter. I'm now being officially accused of being a Vanderbilt basher. All I'm doing is stating facts. It's not like these are – you don't even have to do opinions. I mean, we're talking about a team that's 0-13 in the conference, 14 straight losses, which means it's the longest losing streak for the program. It ties the streak that was set back in 1936. And I'm now a basher of Vanderbilt, and I'm firmly on the bandwagon of a Tennessee team that, up until Saturday, was the number one team in the country. But you get that all the time, too, because it's like, I love it when folks send out tweets to you saying, it's your Bulldogs, or it's your LSU Tigers, or it's your Minnesota Gophers, or whatever the case may be.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if you're getting called a hater for bashing a winless basketball team in Vandy in the SEC, then that just shows signs of weakness by the people who are calling you that. I mean, that's my motto, and something that I've found to be pretty much true 100% of the time, is that when you get called a hater of something, it's because the person who's calling you a hater knows deep down that you're right and has no other argument. And you know, in the case of Vandy, I mean, how can you make the argument that criticizing them is not something that you need to do because they haven't won a basketball game in conference? So, like I always say, the bias card is a crutch for the weak, and there are a lot of people out there that just simply can't stand the truth. They want affirmation, not information.
Well, and the things that I keep pointing out, like during this 14-game losing streak, we always, you know, when I look at a box score, and this is certainly starts with the way coaches look at box scores, too, after ball games. They look at turnovers. They look at rebounds. They look at ratios like assists to turnovers. And they usually start with assists to turnovers because they're looking for, you know, two assists for every turnover, right? Well, sure. I'm looking at this 14-game losing streak, and every game except for two, Vanderbilt has turned the ball over more times than they have assists. Five times they've got more than twice the number of turnovers than assists, including three times plus in their loss to Oklahoma when they turned the ball over 22 times compared to only seven assists. And the worst part, too, in a lot of these games, we're talking about more turnovers than they do made baskets. And that's not going to win you ball games. And then when you throw in the free throw shooting. Well, and then you throw in the free throw shooting where half of these games, they shot 62% or less from the free throw line.
It's laughable. It really is. I mean, the SEC is good. Don't get me wrong. It's certainly gotten tougher over the last 5 years, but it's not like the SEC is murderer's row, right? And for Vandy not to have that kind of success, that's on coaching. You know, Bryce Drew is young. He hasn't really done a whole lot of this. And maybe that's coming up to the surface now because – that stuff that just doesn't happen throughout the course of a season. That's something that is part of a program and part of a team from the get-go, and it's clearly that Vandy was not prepared for the season.
Hey, by the way, I know it's still early before we get to March Madness. Could this be another year where we get more mid-major teams having their tickets punched? The reason I bring this up because somebody was talking about how, like the SEC, other than Tennessee, LSU, Kentucky, it's a weak league, and right now, if the tickets were being issued out as far as for the big dance, more than half of the teams from the SEC would get in. You probably would have eight teams, including Alabama and Florida, which right now on the good side of the bubble. But eight of the 14 teams from the SEC would have their tickets punched, which was, according to Joe Lunardi, would be tied with the Big 12 and the Big 10, and only the ACC, the only conference with more, with nine. But after those four, then we get into, you know, American Conference, Big East with four, and then everybody else with two, which opens up the door this year for maybe we get some love for these mid-majors with maybe some of these conferences that usually only get one team in. We could see some situations where they could have maybe two.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Obviously, it depends on what happens with automatic bids during conference championship season. But, yeah, I mean, and honestly, I think a lot of the reason the SEC has, you know, according to Lunardi, Alabama and Florida in is that there's just not much of a sample size, but both of those teams have the talent to be pretty darn good. So, I think a lot of times in a situation like this, you're going to have probably too many, you know, powerful, you know, group powerful teams, and not, you know, power five teams, but major conference teams, in that bracket, so to speak, right now. But I think that's, you know, sort of a precursor to some of them falling off and opening the door for some of those mid-major teams. And I think you're going to see that this year, provided you don't have, you know, upsets in the conference tournaments, which we might, which I think is pretty silly, because just because you win your conference tournament doesn't mean you're a championship caliber team.
Hey, by the way, I wanted to get your opinion, and once again, we're visiting with Barrett Salee. Jerry Kill, former football coach at Minnesota, he's now the athletics director at Southern Illinois. Remember, because of health reasons, yeah, he walked away from the head coaching job there at Minnesota back in 2015. His former assistant is now the head coach at Minnesota. Tuesday, he just went off. You know, it's not unusual for somebody to maybe have a comment or, you know, not totally happy with somebody who's taken over a program that that they had previously had run. But it's been a while since I've seen a Jerry Kill kind of moment where not too kind with the words that he described, how he described P.J. Fleck when he took over this program at Minnesota.
No, not at all. You know, I think a lot of times in situations like that, you know, coaches come in and say, we've got to change the culture, we've got to change the culture, and they do it too much. It does become not even a backhanded slight, but just a flat-out slight at the previous regime. And I think that's probably where most of this stems from. And Jerry Kill is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. In fact, I've had, you know, conversations with him privately because of his epilepsy, my epilepsy. It's very out of character for him to do that. But I think, you know, it might be, you know, a situation where he's kind of sick and tired of, you know, the new coach and P.J. Fleck, who's no longer new, you know, backhandedly, you know, slighting the program that he ran when he was there. And on top of that, I mean, I think a lot of coaches, you know, typically can get sort of annoyed with P.J. Fleck and the way he operates, and the fact that, you know, a lot of people in that industry, I think, do feel that he's more sizzle than steak. So maybe that's wearing on him a little bit too. But, yeah, that's super surprising. You don't see that all that often, you know, especially with, you know, a coach like Jerry Kill, who, was a Minnesota guy. I mean, that was his program. And it's, you know, if you criticize Fleck, you're criticizing the football program. And so that's the surprising part. You know, it's one thing to be, you know, sour grapes on the way out of a job that, you know, it's just a job. I think Minnesota was probably more than that for Jerry Kill, especially considering, you know, all that he went through when he was there. So that part is super surprising.
Yeah, his exact quote was, "Sometimes egos get carried away. When he went into Minnesota and treated the people the way he treated my guys, telling them that he had to go in and completely change the culture and that it was a bad culture and bad people. He made it sound like we didn't know what we were doing." You know, the ironic part of that is the fact that under Jerry Kill, we started paying attention more to Minnesota football than we probably have in the previous 10 years.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, I think that, you know, people take pride in that. I mean, people take pride, you know, especially a guy like, you know, in a situation like that, Jerry Kill, you know, had his health issues, you know, stepped away. Tracy Clays took over, you know, and, you know, it's not like he left on bad terms. You know, he left, you know, if he had a culture that was terrible and got fired for it, like Jim McElwain did, okay, then maybe you could understand why. You know, there's some bitterness, but, you know, I don't understand where the bitterness comes from. I mean, to me, P.J. Fleck must have really, really done some horrible things. Jerry Kill perceived, you know, P.J. Fleck, of doing some horrible things, because that's not a reaction I would expect, and certainly not the guy, who I would expect it from based on the way he has sort of handled himself over the course of his career.
Hey, what is your thoughts about former Houston head coach Major Applewhite, who, by the way, was named after a former running back from Alabama, Major Ogilvie? Second go-around, looks like he's going to join the Alabama program in 2019 as an analyst. And this, you know, we go back to the Mike Shula era where he was the, you know, Applewhite was the offensive coordinator back in 2007.
Yeah, Nick Saban's first year, so... he's back in the Nick Saban Center for Coaches Who Can't Coach Good and Want to Do Other Stuff Good, too. And that's just that's how it operates. And, you know, I think it's gotten to a point now where coaches are not going to be embarrassed by doing that. You know, some would typically you know, go take an assistant coaching job. But I think a lot of these coaches understand now that, you know, you spend 1 year, if you're Butch Jones, maybe two, in the rehab program. Then you get a, you know, maybe promoted on the field, and then you get a head coaching job like Mike Oxley did, like, you know, a lot of other coaches have. So that's, you know, that's just the way it works. And I don't know how much of an asset he is, but, I mean, look, it's, you know, it's an analyst job. It's off the field, even though, you know, Alabama and a lot of other schools who have, you know, those kind of staffs. And the rules a little bit with how much contact those coaches have with the players and what they all do. But it's another set of eyes. And if you're any program, if you're any coach, you want more eyes on the tape. You want more eyes looking at things, because sometimes they see things, even if they're terrible coaches, they see things that you don't, and that can help you down the road.
Yeah, you're right. He was at Rice the year before in Mike Shula's last year at Alabama. Applewhite was at Rice in 06 before joining Nick Saban's staff in 07. Your thoughts as far as teams that right now you would say major trouble or major reasons to pay attention to them early, as far as because of things they have not done in the offseason, you know, looking ahead to this upcoming college football season? For me, obviously, it starts with Florida State, but who do you have on this list?
Yeah, Florida State's going to be number 1, 2, and 3 on that list for a lot of terrible reasons. But, yeah, Florida State, I would put USC in that mix just because of what happened with Clay Helton and the fact that, you know, recruiting didn't necessarily go great. And, you know, from a development standpoint, they really hadn't done an awful lot of that under Clay Helton in his first couple of years. So they'd be in that mix. I think Auburn would be in that mix because they do get Oregon right out of the gate. They don't have a quarterback. I think the Gus Malzahn being fired talk was a little bit blown out of proportion, although, you know, it was at least considered. But that's still pressure, right? And so pressure for a guy who's an offensive mind who had the worst offensive season of his coaching career and now doesn't have a quarterback, I think that makes them extremely interesting this year. You know, and outside of that, you know, I can't think of really anybody outside of Michigan. You know, Jim Harbaugh's not getting fired, but at some point Michigan folks are going to get fed up. And, you know, I think that should have happened before two seasons ago because the investment wasn't there. Last year may have taken a little heat off Jim Harbaugh, considering they were in the mix for you know, majority of the season. But the way it ended, the fact that the offense hasn't developed, the fact that Shea Patterson was just sort of okay last year, at some point Michigan folks are going to get frustrated, and I think it might happen this year.
By the way, breaking news, the sun has come out. All right, now we go back to more sports. I know. I forgot what it looked like, honestly. It's been so long. I thought for a while there we've moved to Seattle. But this year it seems like in the offseason, Jeremy Pruitt, as far as attendance at this year's spring game, it is vitally important to him. It's kind of like become a personal thing. What does Tennessee have to do to have a kind of crowd at the spring game that would satisfy Jeremy Pruitt?
Have a concert like Florida State's having again for the second straight season? You know, MC Hammer would do it for sure. No,
That's what, by the way, he's not kidding there. Florida State's got MC Hammer, Tone Low, I think's coming there.
Tone Low can color me bad. Like, yeah, honestly, yeah. Like, I would go to that concert. Like, if I get asked to cover the Florida State spring game, I am there in a second. Like, that would be awesome. I think he's just has to rally the troops. I think this is not something that you can easily do in year two after you went 5-7. Kirby Smart, I think, did it right, you know, when he – you know, had 93,000 in his first spring game, and they had Ludacris there, and it was all good. He needs to build momentum, and I think he needs to see it from a recruiting perspective. So maybe that's how he sells it, but I just can't see how something like that, a plan like that, would work, you know, in year two after you went 5-7, and the shine, you know, I mean, it's really worn off, but it's not necessarily the way it was when you were hired. So, but again, I, you know, spring game attendance is the most overblown thing of the offseason. And I say that, and people will probably send me tweets of recruits saying, wow, look at that spring game attendance. That was great. That was a great atmosphere and blah, 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 blah. No recruit on the planet is picking a school based on spring game attendance. It just doesn't happen. And even if they are wowed by it in the spring, that has zero to do with how they feel in the fall or whenever they commit. So,
but egos are involved, Barrett. You know this as well as I do. And Jeremy Pruitt wants to be rewarded for all this effort. The couple of the five-star offensive linemen, and he wants it to be rewarded with us. Hey, how about this? This is that time maybe you call in a favor and get Kenny Chesney to do a concert. Sure. I mean, since he's got
long-time
the
Tennessee fans.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, bring out folks that have the longtime fanmanship, you know, that fandom for and that love for Tennessee. This is that time where you call in a few favors.
Or MC Hammer.
Or MC Hammer.
MC Hammer would be fine. Well, no, who'd Florida State have last day? Vanilla Ice. They had Salt and Pepper, and they had Rob Bass. Just see if those three can get together again. That sounds like a fun concert.
Yeah, okay. You know, it's pretty sad when more people are going because of the concert than their interest in the football team.
Have you seen a spring game lately?
Well, I understand where you're going with that, but you know as well as I do, there's always a reason to be optimistic, and the spring game is always supposed to be that thing to get your interest and, you know, pumped up for an upcoming season. Yeah, they're not really the case in Tallahassee these days.
No. But no, I mean, ego's involved. Pruitt wants to put on a good show. I get it. And create some buzz in the program, and even if it's fleeting, and those types of things are,
I like the fact that he's trying, and I will commend him for that.
Exactly.
Now that I'm firmly on the Tennessee bandwagon, because I am such a lifelong Tennessee homer, so that's.